We begin the current Daf Masech. This even Daf Samach Beis. We begin at the top line of the Gemara, where the Gemara begins to explain the first Mishnah of our Perek that we began, the sixth Perek of Masech, this even Perek Hadar. And that is, we had a machlokes in the Mishnah regarding someone that's living in a chatzer with an Akum, with a non-Jew, and that is when there's a general halacha called Eruv Chatzeres. When you have a bunch of homes, the way the structure of their cities used to be, that many homes would open up into a courtyard, many courtyards would open up into a mavoi, and these many mavois would open up into the Rishus Rabbim. And that would open up, that's where the base of the city was. So now you have these many homes open into the chatzar. If they want to carry in the chatzar, because since a chatzar is similar in some regard to Rosh Hashanah, because it's not owned by one individual, there's many different owners, so to speak, that have the right of way in the chatzar. Therefore, everyone has to join together to make it somewhat of a Rosh Hashanah yachid, put all everyone's food in one person's home. It's like everyone lives over there, and therefore we see it as owned by one person, one big Rosh Hashanah yachid, then you could carry in the chatzar. But let's say one of them is a non-Jew. Now, non-Jew, as we're going to see later on in the Gemara, cannot join in the Eruv Chatzeres. So what is the halacha now? On the one hand, we have him, he's not a Jew, but on the other hand, he's a owner, and there's a home here that's not joining into the Eruv Chatzeres. What happens? So Rav Machlekes in the Mishnah. Tanakama says, if there's even one non-Jew, he's going to make it forbidden for the Jews to carry in the Chatzer, because he can't join in. And since it's not joining in, there is someone else that has the right of way over here, and therefore it's not a Rishus Sayach, it's not owned by just one person. But Lezman Yaakov said that no, one non-Jew, and if there's only one Jew there amongst the other non-Jews, that's not a problem. If there are two Jews amongst the non-Jews, that is going to be a problem. Our Gemara is going to explain what would be the difference between one Jew or two Jews. That what's the difference? If the non-Jew is not joining in, it should be a problem whether there's one or two Jews. Anyway, so our Gemara begins, Yosef Abayi bar Oven, Reb Chinda bar Oven. There were these two Talmid Chacham, the sons of Oven. And Abayi was sitting by together with them. The Yasav Kamei, they were sitting, they were saying, and discussing our Mishnah and asking these questions. Bishlam Rimei, we could understand Rimei, that says it's always a problem, no matter how many Jews are there, if there's a non-Jew over there, that Kesavad, that it's going to be a problem and you can't carry into the Chatzah because Kesavad, Dira Slevet Kechavim, Shema Dira. It's very, we can understand his opinion because he holds that even the dwelling place, a home of a non-Jew, is considered a home. And therefore, since he's a valid property owner over here, so he has his right of way in the courtyard. And therefore, it comes out when the Yisrael, no matter how many Yisraels there are, when he takes out from his home into the courtyard or from the courtyard into his home, which those are different areas because the courtyard is like everyone's property. It's not everyone like Rosh Hashanah, but it's similar in that regard. And his home is only one that's designated for him. So he's taking out from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah. And as we explained before, the Rabbanan made a decree that you shouldn't take out from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah without an Erev, because then you might come to take from Rosh Hashanah Yachad to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So therefore, we understand that he holds, since the Dira of Akum is considered a valid Dira, so Veloish Nochad, there's no difference if there's one Jew living with the non-Jews. Veloish Notrei, there's no difference if there's two Jews. Either one's going to be a problem, even if there's only one Jew, because again, there's a Jew here, and the Chatzar is going to be not only his domain, because you have the non-Jew that's also a property owner, and he's not joining, he can't join together with whatever Chatzar is, so it's going to be a problem. But the difficulty begins, Eli Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, Mike Sava, what does he hold? How do you understand this chiluk he's making? If he holds, like we assume in Reb Meir, that the dira, the dwelling of a non-Jew, is considered a valid dira. He is considered a property owner. So even with one Jew, it should be a problem. How could that one Jew carry into the chatzar? He's not the only owner over here. There's the dira of the Akum here. And the Eloish Madira, and if he holds that, no, you know what? The Dira of Akum is not valid. He's not considered owner. He's not someone that's within our realm of that's necessary to be considered a Rishus Yachid. He's not considered as owning a Rishus. So then, Afil Trei Nami Lo Nitzer. So then, even when there's two Jews, what should be the problem? You have two Jews, they're joining in the Eruv Chatzeres. The one non-Jew, why would it make a difference now that there's two Jews that now should cause and pose a problem? He's not a Dira. He's not a player whatsoever. So why is it a problem when there's two Jews, but not a problem when there's only one Jew? And that the Gemara says, Omlo Abaye. So Abaye said to these two sons of Oven, says, I'll explain to you. And first I'll start off with a question to show you what you had assumed even is not necessarily correct. What do you mean? Savi Reb Meir, Diris Akam Shema Dira? Do you really think that even Reb Meir, that is the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that Stam Masnitin Reb Meir, that he holds that the Dira of Akam is considered Dira, and that's why you understood him, so to speak, why it's going to be a problem if there's one Jew or two Jews, it doesn't make a difference, it's always a problem? But by the time you learn the Braisa, it seems to indicate not like that. It says, Chatzeri Shal Oibu Kachavim, that the courtyard of non-Jew, Harehu Kedir Shal Behema, has the same status as an animal stable. which basically means that he does not have the ability to make it forbidden on the Jews because he's not considered a dira. It's like an animal stable. And that's Reb Meir, as we're going to see later on, the Gemara is going to quote a brisa, which later the Gemara is going to ask a contradiction from our Mishnah, which says that the Akum does make it usr. So how could you say it's like a dira shel behema, like just like a barn that doesn't make it forbidden because it's not a dira? How do we resolve that? Another Gemara later is going to say that when did we say it has halacha like a deer, like a stable? That's when the non-Jew is not there for Shabbos. However, a Yisrael, even if he's not there, the Jew's not there for Shabbos, his domain that was not joined in the Reuven Chatzeres would make it forbidden. But what the point that the Gemara is bringing now is, but one thing you do see is that the dira of an Akum is not called a deer, because if it was called a deer, it would be a problem even if he's away for Shabbos, just like the Jew. So therefore, Abai is asking to them, even your assumption is not correct. Forget about asking under Blessed Ben Yaakov. How do you send Reb Meir? You were saying Reb Meir, of course, it's going to be forbidden the one Jew or two Jews because of the fact that the non-Jew's deer is called a deer. But we see clearly that the non-Jew's deer is not called a deer. And that's why when he goes away for Shabbos, it's not going to make it forbidden as it would be by the case of a Jew. So rather, Abai says, El dekuli alma deeris akam loishmi deer. No. Everybody, even Reb Meir holds that the dira of an akum is not considered dira in halacha for what's necessary for the halachas of a Reuven Chatzeres. We don't view it as a rishus of many now, even though the Jews joined together, but there was one non-Jew that didn't. We don't consider his dira as anything to invalidate our ability to carry in the chatzah. So, but what is the machlekes over here? Why would Reb Meir say it's usr? Why would Reb Elazar ben Yaakov say it's usr when there's two Jews? It's based on the gezeira of maybe the Jew is going to learn and follow the ways of the non-Jew. Since he's going to see the non-Jew doing the things that he does, we're concerned that he might actually be influenced by the non-Jew. So what the Chum did as follows, they made it very difficult for the Jew to live there. Why is it going to be difficult? Because he's going to have to pay the non-Jew every single week, as we're going to see later on the Gemara, that since a non-Jew cannot join in the Erev, however his property is a problem, so what do you do about it? He can't be mevatlas rishos. So you have to actually rent it from him. And therefore it's going to be very expensive. It's going to be high. So that the Jew is going to want to leave that. And regarding that gezeiris, where the machlekes of Reb Meir and Reb Elazar ben Yaakov are, is did we say that even by an individual Jew that's living with the non-Jews or not? As the Gemara explains, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov savar, kivin del evit kechavim choshera shvichas damim, that since non-Jews, at least the Ivik Chavim, and this was the concern that Reb Elazar ben Yaakov was saying, that they're suspected on possible murder. So Trey, two Jews, the Shechicha D'Dayri, which would be a little bit common, that the Jew would live amongst the non-Jews if he has at least another Jew with him. So Gazibhu, that type of scenario, when you have two Jews together living amongst the non-Jews, we said that's a possibility. Because of, the Jew's not so worried now because he has another Jew. In such a case, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says that's where we made the gzeira d'rabbanan of we're concerned that you might be yilmed b'maisav, because when are we concerned that you might actually live amongst the non-Jews? That's only when there's two Jews, because one Jew would never normally live amongst the non-Jews, as he says. Chad olei shchiyah. However, one Jew living amongst the non-Jews, which is not so common for him to live amongst them again, because he's concerned that they might just murder him. Loi gozibei rabban, and vidra rabban did not make a decree, as the famous klal in Shas is, that a milsa delay shchicha loi gozibei rabban, something that's not so common, it was never included in the gzeirah rabban at all. So therefore, one Jew living amongst the non-Jews will not have this problem of this gzeirah that the Chacham made, that the dira of the Akum should be considered dira. Although, and again, in halacha, really, it's not considered dira. But the Chacham said, we will consider it as such, that you will have to rent it from him. And the reason why we're doing that is because we don't want you to live amongst the non-Jews in that type of a population, because you might come to learn from him. But when did we say that? Only when there's two Jews. Because that's only common case, is two Jews. One Jew would not normally live, because he would not be so foolhardy to do that, because he might get murdered. So in the case when the one single Jew does have the bravado to actually do that and live amongst non-Jews, then he is allowed to, and we did not make the gzeir in that place because we don't make it. It was never included for an uncommon type of a case. That's the opinion of Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. However, Meir Savi, he holds no. Zimnan de Mikri Vidari. Sometimes it happens that a Jew, even though he's an individual, will live amongst the non-Jews. And therefore the Rabbanan said that an Eir will not work even with a single Jew. And that is, again, the Machlekes in our Mishnah. Again, now we understand. Really, everyone agrees that it's lav shmadir. In a sense, in halachic, pure sense, he would not make a problem for the Jewish people regarding the halachas of Eir. However, since we're concerned you might come to learn from him, there we had a machlekes. Would that apply only by two Jews, or would it apply even by a single Jew? As the Gemara explains, the purpose of this gzeir d'Rabbanu was, v'amar Rabban, the Rabban said, Ein Erev Moil B'Makam Akam. An Erev does not work with a non-Jew. He cannot join together in principle with these type of acquisitions that are necessary to make it considered as if it's one Rishus. However, Ve'ein Bidl Rishus Moil B'Makam Akam. And another problem is that when you don't join the Erev Chatzeris, you can also just cede your property and say, I'm not a player, Rabbi. I don't own my home. It's like an Akam can't do that either. Sheyasker, until the Jew actually has to pay rent money, says, I'm renting your property, that you don't have it, it's considered ours, and therefore you're not going to make a problem for us. Va'akim le'moiger. And the non-Jew is not going to rent, in other words, not going to want to rent out his home, and therefore the Jew is going to be stuck because he's not going to, he can't carry down the chutzah, it's very limiting, he's stuck at home with the kids, he can't get out, and therefore, because of that situation, he's going to want to move out, and that's going to accomplish what the Chum actually wanted. To which the Gemara asked, but to explain, my time, what is the reason that the non-Jew is not going to want to rent it? If the Jew is paying good money, why would he not want to rent it? So the Gemara says, Ile mishum this saver dilma asilach zuki bishtusa. If you think the reason is because he's concerned, wait a second, I'm renting it to the Jew, you know how they are, they're going to just come, take it over, and he's going to take over my property, he's not going to want to ever give it back to me. If that's the reason why he's not going to want to rent it in the first place, so hanich lamanda amas schiriz b'riya b'inam, that makes sense, according to the one that says, that this type of rental that the Jew has to do for Shabbos to like rent the non-Jew's domain has to be a full-fledged rental that the Jew makes a condition of, I could do whatever I want in the sense that I could fill up this entire mavoi with vessels if I want. It's all mine. You can't say anything. You can't complain. Come out of your house on Saturday and say, what's going on over here? No, this is my mavoi. I own this whole alleyway. So that I can understand that he's concerned where the Jew's going to take over here. But according to the one that says that you don't need a full-fledged rental. It's like a token type. It's a very shvacha type of a rental. It's just to make like a halachic rental. So Michael Mamma, so what are you going to say? What would be the reason? What would be a concern about the non-Jew renting it to the Jew? Why not? He's making free money. Okay, yes, you own it. It's rented to you and he's making free money. Why wouldn't he do it? The Jew can't anyways fill it up with whatever he wants to. Like we learned this, machlokes. Rav Chisda amar schiris b'riya. Chisda says you have to actually make a full-fledged rental. He owns it. I rented it for Saturday. Rav Sheshet amar schiris ru'uya. Rav Sheshet says, no, it's just like a token type of a rental. So, as the Gemara explained, my ru'uya, my b'riya. What does it mean? A subpar type of a rental or a full-fledged one. Ilema b'riya pruta. So the Gemara says, maybe if you're going to say that a full-fledged rental means to say that you give him a pruta, which is the lowest denomination of a valid halachic coin. Ru'uya b'pachim shavah pruta. And what would be considered just a token type is something worth less than the shavah pruta. So it's just like a token, but it's not really has validity. And that thing the Gemara says, mi ikalamanda amen. Is there anyone that would want to say this, that mi'akim b'pachim shavah pruta loy? That if it's below a shavah pruta, that would not work? In other words, there was one man that says, no, it has to be a bria. It has to be a full-fledged rental. Other one says, no, ru'uya. It could be even just a token. So now the Gemara is saying, if you're saying ru'uya means because it's less than a shavah pruta, would the other one who says it needs to be bria argue and say that if it's less than a shavah pruta, it would not work to consider it chashav enough as if it's rented from the non-Jew? But Vashalach Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Guyur, Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan, he was sending this from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. He says as follows, I said, Heavy Yaakov, you should know, Shesichrin min ha'akim, you could rent something from a non-Jew, even less than the Shavah Pruta. So you see that it seems like this was a unanimous halachic ruling that everybody agrees that even if it's less than the Shavah Pruta, in regards to a non-Jew, they consider that a chashav amount, and therefore it would be considered. So that wouldn't make sense to say that's the machlokes, that one says bria means it has to be a shavah pruta, the other one says ru'uya, it's good even less than a shavah pruta, because everybody would agree, even less than a shavah pruta, it works. Similarly, as we find, that less than a shavah pruta, less than the worth of a pruta, was considered valid and worthful to the non-Jews. As Gemara said, v'amr b'chiyah bar abu, amr b'yechna, ben noyach neherag al pachas m'shavah pruta. A ben noyach, a non-Jew, get killed for stealing less than the shavah pruta. And that is because one of the seven mitzvahs, the seven commandments that the ben noach are commanded in, as the Gemara says in Perek Dal Misan Sanhedrin, the Gemara over there says that the azhara, the warning, which means the iser, of one of the seven mitzvahs ben noach, is what requires the non-Jew to get killed, even if he doesn't get hasra. And what Rabbi Yechon is teaching us is that by the non-Jews, they're not moichel, they don't forgive even something less than the shavah pruta. And that is, as we said, because they consider it chashim. And therefore, it would be considered gezel when you steal it from them. Whereas by the Jew, he said less than the shavah pruta, for him it's not considered chashim, and therefore it's not something to be prosecuted about. And similarly, another halacha related to this concept that by non-Jews, even less than the Shava Pruta, is considered chashav, it's something valid. And you also, you can't even return it, and that is, by a Jew it says, v'heshav as exela. You steal something, you return it, and that's the rectification. But by a non-Jew, it doesn't say hashava that you can return it. And therefore, once a non-Jew transgresses stealing something less than the Shava Pruta, he cannot pay it because he doesn't have the mitzvah of hashava, and he gets prosecuted, he gets killed. So that's how far it is. A non-Jew that steals less than the Shava Pruta, he automatically gets killed because he doesn't need hasra, because just the warning, the isra of it, is his hasara, which makes him get killed. And he gets killed even for stealing less than the Shava Pruta because they consider chashim. And he can't return the money because there's no mitzvah of him, so it's not considered like returning it or anything, and therefore he gets killed. But the main idea what the Gemara brought this in for is, so wait, what is Ru'uya and what is Bria? And this we're coming back to be able to show what would be the understanding of what we're trying to say over here based on this machlekes of Bria and Ru'uya. It can't be because Bria is a Shava Pruta and Ru'uya is less than Shava Pruta, because we see by non-Jews even less than Shava Pruta is considered Bria. Ela Bria is b'maharki v'ar borgani. Rather, what does it mean, a full-fledged, as we explained before, of a schiris, of a rental? It's that I can fill up the whole courtyard with benches and chairs if I want to. That means a full-fledged one. What's Ru'uya? What's a token one? That's b'loy maharki v'ar borgani. In other words, you can't do that. You can't fill up the whole thing. It's not really yours. I'm making it halachically yours for what your Jewish purposes are. So therefore, the Gemara concludes again and goes back. So, ha'nichal man the mischiris b'riya b'inan. I understand, according to the one that says, it has to be a full-fledged type of a mischiris. So then that would be the understanding of why the non-Jew would not want to go out and rent it, because look, he's taking over the whole area. According to the one that says that it's just a token type of a rental. So Michael Mimmer, what are you going to say? Why wouldn't the non-Jew want to go out and rent it to the Jew? And why would that be an impetus for the Jew to have to leave the area because it's not being rented to him? Then the Gemara says, no, filahachi. Even so, even the one that says it's just a token type of a rental, chashash akam l'kshafim v'loy moger. The non-Jew is concerned about witchcraft. He's concerned, what are these Jewish people doing? What are they renting my property? They're putting up all these interesting poles. I don't like the way this looks. You're not owning anything of my property, even just for Saturday. And therefore, because of that, he's not going to want to rent it. And that was for the whole purpose, what Chazal wanted that to happen, so that you're stuck, you can't carry into the chatzar, you're limited, you're going to move out, and then you're not going to come to learn from the non-Jews. So then the Gemara says, Gufa, he's quoting from the Braisa that we had mentioned before, now the Gemara quotes the entire statement. The courtyard of a non-Jew, and that is, although generally the way courtyards are constructed, as we had mentioned before, you have many homes open into the one courtyard. However, by the property of a non-Jew, of an Akum, they're not considered separate to see each one as their own rishus. Because as we had mentioned before, that the dira of an Akum is not considered a dira. And therefore the Gemara says, if there's only non-Jews living there, Harehu Kedir Shal Behemah, the whole entire courtyard is viewed as a stable for animals. What does that mean? Therefore, you allow a Jew that comes there on Saturday, on Shabbos, for them it's Saturday, he could go ahead and carry in and out from the courtyard to the home, and from the homes to the courtyard. And that is a Jew that doesn't really live there, but he comes there, he's staying there for Shabbos by a non-Jew, he can go ahead and carry from the home to the courtyard, and it's not considered taking from a Rishus Miuchedes, a unique, a distinct area that's owned by one non-Jew, and then taking it to a communal area that's owned by many non-Jews, because again, that's not considered a dira at all. It's not a dira. The whole thing's never started to be a problem. It's not taking from one Rishus to another Rishus, because again, the dira of an Akum is not considered a dira. However, the Braisa continues, Vim Yeshram Yisrael Echad. However, if there is one Jew that lives in that neighborhood, in that Chatzar, then Eiser, then he makes it forbidden on every other Jew to go ahead and carry from the home into the courtyard, because now we view it as the Jew's courtyard, as a Jew's area. Now you're carrying in from a different domain, that would make it a problem. That's the understanding of Remeya. But that's when Yaakov, he says, no, and again, as we had mentioned, this machlek is in our Mishnah, he holds it's not a problem, even if there's one Jew living there, actually Shnei Yisrael, until there are two Jewish people living there, then we're going to see and these two Jews are living in two different homes, that are Oysim Zalzeh, they make it forbidden one on the other, the two Jews, right? Because there's another Jew, he can't go ahead and carry into the Chatzar until he makes it Erev with that other one. Then we see the Rishus of the Akum as distinct from them. And then the non-Jew will make it forbidden on their homes, and they're going to make it Usur on the non-Jews' homes. So therefore, if the other Jew, not from the neighborhood, staying by the non-Jew, he can't go ahead and carry now from that home to the courtyard, because as we mentioned before, the Rabbanan considered, because of their purpose of the Gezerah, that you should not come to learn from the non-Jews, as the Dira of the Akum, as a Dira However, a Jewish person that's singular, that he's the only Jew living in that neighborhood, then the Rabbanan did not consider the deer of the Akamin Tadira, and then he would not make it usher on the non-Jew would not make it usher on the base of Yisrael, and the Yisrael would not make it usher on the non-Jew's home, as we said, because there is no chilik rishus by Akum, and therefore a different Jew that is there for Shabbos and he's staying by the non-Jew, he would be able to carry in and out, because when there's only one Jew, at least according to the opinion of Rabbi Ben Yaakov, that would not be a problem. Now we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara quotes again from the Braisa. And now it comes to ask a question. I'm a map. So we said just before, Chatzir Shal Akum, a courtyard of a non-Jew, Hareyu Kadir Shal Behema, then it has the status like a stable of an animal. As we said, that it's not considered a property, it's not considered a domain or a shus whatsoever to make it forbidden on the Jews. So the Gemara asked, well, not Tanan, but we learned not Mishnah, and we had alluded to this question earlier in the Gemara, that we learned in the Mishnah, that's the opinion of Remeir, Hadar im ha'akim b'chatzir, if someone lives with a non-Jew in the same courtyard, ha'rezer ha'isolav, the non-Jew does make it forbidden for the Jew to carry into the courtyard. How do we resolve that with the Braisa, that we find Remeir saying that it's considered like an animal stable? It's not a rishus, it's not going to make it usher. So what is it? Is it an animal stable, or does it make it forbidden on the Jew? So the Gemara answers, lo kasha, ha, our Mishnah, so it says that it's going to be a problem, is the Issa, where the non-Jew is there for Shabbos. Ha, the last, the Braisa says, no, it's like an animal stable, it's not going to make it usher, is when the non-Jew is not there for Shabbos. And then we don't consider his home a home, we consider an animal stable, and then it's not going to be a problem. So now the Gemara wants to understand this difference, if he's there for Shabbos or not. Mike Sabak, now, what does Remeir actually hold? That there would be a difference between the deer of an Akam and the deer of a Yisrael. Iksav a deer below Bayil Mishma deer, if he holds that a deer, a dwelling, a home, that someone's abode is considered a dira, even if the owner is not there for Shabbos. So then, nafilachem nami nitzah. Then, not only by a Jew that's not there for Shabbos, that will make it a problem if he did not join in the Rubik Hatzeres. So, to a non-Jew, why does it help that he's not there for Shabbos? That you're saying the brides are considered like a dira shabahema? What's the difference? A dira without the owner's there for Shabbos is considered dira. V'ikusav a dira b'loy ba'al loishma dira. And if you're saying that no, he considers when the owner's not there, we don't consider it a full-fledged dira. So, for Yisrael nami loy nitzah. Then, even by a Jew, when he's not there for Shabbos, also should not be forbidden. But we know that it is. So how do we resolve that? What's the difference if the non-Jew is there for Shabbos or not? To say that's the resolution of the contradiction of our Mishnah and the Braisa. To which the Gemara says, "La'ilim kisav adir b'lei ba'ilim lo yishma adir." You're right. In truth, the Tana holds that a dira, a dwelling, without the owner's there for Shabbos, is not considered a dira, because the whole concept of requiring Eber Chatzeis is because someone has the right of way. If he's not here, we don't consider him as a player over here because he's an owner that's going to cause a problem because he's not here for Shabbos. However, v'Yisrael d'chi'i se'aser. But however, a Jew that when he is here for Shabbos, he makes it aser. Why does he make it aser? Because of the status of dira that a Yisrael has. Because a dira of Yisrael is considered a full-fledged dira. So then, kileses. And even when he's not here for Shabbos, gazu be'rabbanan. So then, the rabbanan made a gzera because of maybe when he is here. In other words, there's a lot of times by things which are full-fledged aser, we say, okay, so even when he's not here, but however, then we make a gzera because of when he is here. However, Akum dechi isay, but Akum, even when he is here for Shabbos, his deer is not considered a deera. It's only because gezerah shemil b'meimaisim. It's only like a lower type of a gezerah because we were concerned that he might come to learn from his actions. So ki isay also. So when he is here for Shabbos, then we said it's forbidden because that's when you're going to learn from him when he's here. He's here for Saturday. He's out washing his car. You might come to learn from him. Ki lasay lo also. But when he's not here, we're not going to make it forbidden. It's like a very much so like a gezerah gezerah. Because there, it's not really that he's considered a dira to be included in the problematic area of Erev that he's not included. Really, his dira is not a dira. He just might come to learn when he's dead. That's the only problem when he's here. When he's not here, so then we didn't make that gezerah whatsoever because it was only a concern when the non-Jew is there. And that's why, again, there was that understanding that our Mishnah was talking about it's a problem. When he's there for Shabbos, the Bryce says that it's like an animal stable. What's the problem? What is this house already? Is when the non-Jew is not there because the concept of why it should be a problem is only because you might learn from him and that's not there when he's not there. But then the Gemara asks, is that really true? Also, when the non-Jew is not there for Shabbos, his property does not make it forbidden to carry into the chatzah. But now we learn the Mishnah later on that says, Hamaniach is basically someone that leaves his home, and he goes to stay for Shabbos in another town. So whether a Jew or non-Jew, Eisri makes it forbidden to Remeir. So you see, Remeir does say it's a problem even when a non-Jew goes away for Shabbos, his domain is a problem. So we just said not like that. Then the Gemara says, there's a difference. Hasam de asi biyomi. There is that he could come back on that same day because he went out of town, but he went very close to the next municipality, to the next town, and he could come back on Shabbos. And therefore, if we let you even before he comes back, we let you use the area because not here, you might come to carry even after he comes back, and you're not going to realize, and then it's going to be the problem of the Gzer Drabanan that we consider their Rishus when they're around. And that's why there's a difference, although that you're right, when the Nandra goes away is no problem, but if he's very close by, then we said even if he goes away for Shabbos, it is going to be a problem. So now the Gemara says, Lahalacha, regarding this Machalikis that we spoke about, Amr Behuda Amr Shmuel, Halacha Kerbeleza Ben Yaakov, the Halacha, which, as Rashi explains, means to say that you actually give a lecture like this out into the public, you preach this Halacha, that is like Kerbeleza Ben Yaakov, as we said, the only problem with two Jews, not with one Jew, not like Remeh, not like Tanakam of a Mishnah. Rav Huna Amr, he says a different version, he says, Minhag Kerbeleza Ben Yaakov. The Minhag, which Rashi says, means to say that you don't lecture it in public. However, if someone comes to ask you a Shaila, ask you what the halacha is, then you tell them the halacha is Kerbeleza Ben Yaakov, that it's only a problem with two Jews. But to the public, you don't announce that. In other words, people might assume that it is a problem even with one Jew. Finally, Rav Yechonah Amr, he says, Nag Ho'am Kerbeleza Ben Yaakov. That the people accustom themselves like that. And that is, not only don't we lecture, but we don't even tell a person that comes to ask us to say that this is the halacha. It's only once he did this, then we're not protest, because as long as it was only one Jew, then he's allowed. It's only when there's two Jews, then we say, no, that's really a problem. Because then for sure, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that as a problem. So there's two different versions. Is that the halacha? Is that the minig? Or is that just nog? Now the Gemara brings a similar type of a discussion based on this differentiation of how we say a halacha is. I'm going to buy the Rabbi Yosef. Kaimalan, this is an assumption that we have in Halacha, that it says in Maseches Yevamos and Perek HaChelitz at the end, it says that Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kav Naki, that the Halachas of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov are Kav, which Rashi means to say that it's a finite amount, a small amount of that, that his teachings are mentioned in the Mishnahs. However, they're Naki, they're pure. That's what it means, is that Halacha is like him in every place, because when he said something, we know that his is really the purest form of what the Halacha is supposed to be. And therefore, V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, Halacha Kerbeleza Ben Yaakov. Therefore, we say that Halacha is always like him, and it's Mashma, that the way he said it, it's so obvious, that Halacha is like him, because since he's the purest of all the teachings, and he says it very few times, we know that the Halacha is going to be like him. So based on that, he wanted to know, Mahula Ruye B'makam Rabbi. What be the Halacha? Can you actually state this halacha in front of your rabbi? And that is, there's halacha that you're not allowed to be moyer halacha b'fnei rabbi. If a question comes and your rabbi, your teacher is there, you're not allowed to go and say the halacha. That's an iser. That your rabbi, that's a type of a cover to the rabbi. So question one that he had was that if such a simple halacha was asked and you say, yeah, halacha is Rabbi Yaakov, and since it doesn't depend on logic whatsoever, it's something that's so obvious, then it would be permitted because you're not really saying a chiddush, not really a passing halacha. Or maybe no, it would still be considered chutzpah. It's something that would not be respectful to say halacha in front of the Rebbe. So Amalei, Rav Yosef responded to him, Afila be'asa, even an egg, in other words, the permission to eat an egg, bekutcha, which was a type of dip that had some type of a derivative of milk, which was a very obvious type of a shiloh that you're allowed to eat it because there's no problem over there of basa b'chalav, it's just an egg and the siyub of the chalba. It's still boyim in the name of Rav Chizda Koshnei Rav Huna. I asked this question from Rav Chizda all the years that Rav Huna was still alive. And I asked him, is it permitted, is it forbidden? And I wanted to test him to see if he's going to say it, although his Rebbe, Rav Huna, was still alive in the same town where he was. And I wanted to see, is he going to answer to me such an obvious question? And still, v'loy oiri, he did not tell me the halacha as long as Rav Huna's Rebbe was alive. So you see that even something so simple like eating an egg with this milk derivative, which is definitely something that's mutter, he didn't say. So therefore over here also, although it's so obvious that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, still you know, I'll say that in front of your Rebbe. So a similar type of a discussion was that Omar Rabbi Yaakov Abba Abaya, then Abaya who heard this from Yosef, he was asked a similar question. Kugel Megillah's Tainus. For example, like the scroll of the Tanaisim, of all the fasts in the Jewish calendar, the Chsivo Mancha, which is written, and it's placed. In other words, it's something that was regarding the different days that it's forbidden to fast on. And Rashi tells us the reason why it was called Megillas Tainas is because in their days, Torah Shabbat was not allowed to be written down, even one word, except for Megillas Tainas, which was an exception, which all the days were not allowed to fast. And that's why it's called Megillah. It was a scroll because it was the only thing that was written. So he asked, something that's so obvious is there, you could just open up the book and see, Ma'ula Uri ba'asad Rabbi, are you allowed to pass on that when the place in the township, in the town where the Rabbi is? In other words, I'm not really saying anything, open up the book, I'm just telling you what it says in the book. It's not like a halacha where I'm coming to say a chiddush. That Amalei, he says, this is what Rabbi Yosef said, and this is what he had told to Abai himself, Even an egg with this milk derivative, that this is what Rabbi Yosef had asked Rav Chisda all the years that Rav Huna, his Rebbe, was alive. But and he didn't say, so you see that even something so obvious, and you could just open up the book and see, still you're not allowed to say halacha, it's not covered, it would be considered chutzpah to say it when the Rebbe is still alive. So the Gemara, however, demonstrates that Rav Chisda uri b'kafri, but Rav Chisda would paskin, he would say what the halacha is in the town of Kafri, b'shneid Rav Huna, even in the years when Rav Huna was alive. Because that wasn't in the immediate place of Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna lived in Pumbedisa, so although both of them are in Bavel, however, since it was a different location, it was a different township, then he went ahead and he did paskin. And we continue on the top. Similarly, Rav Amnuna, uri b'charta, Rav Amnuna would paskin halacha in the city of Charta de Argiz, which was the name of the person that had built it, and he was a Amgushi. Bishneid Rav Chisda, he would paskin in, although Rav Chisda, his Rebbe, was alive. However, again, since it wasn't in the immediate area of his Rebbe, so although you know, paskin, even something so simple, but if it's not in the immediate area, it's in a different town, although it's in the same larger state, it would be mutter, that would not be the issa of being mar halacha b'fnei rabbi.